Jai Radha Madhava Jai Kunja Bihari
Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivadakacharya Asatara Sadushi Sriman His Divine Grace Lacey Bhaktivedanta Swamiraj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaur Premanande Hariva All Glories to the Assembled Devotees All Glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutte Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamite Namane Namaste Sarasatundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shnivari Paskatyade Satarne. Om Agyana Tivarandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shigaro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigaram Vaishnavam Scha Shirupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakhan Svitamscha. Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchena Gorangi Radhe Brinda Vineshwari Prishubhana Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Truvyascha Kripa Sinubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitinanda Shadvaiti Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 20, Pure Devotional Service Surpasses Knowledge and Detachment. Text number 1. Sri Uddhava Vacha Vidischa Pratishedascha Nigama Hishvarasyate Avekshate Ravindaksha Kunadosham Chakarmanam Sri Uddhava Vacha Vidischa Pratishedascha Nigama Rishvarasyate Avekshate Ravindaksha Kunam Dosham Chakarmanam Sri Uddhava Vacha Vidischa Pratishedascha Nigama Hirarasyate Avekshate Ravindaksha Kunam Dosham Chakarmanam Sri Uddhava Vacha Vidischa Pratishedascha Nigama Rishvarasyate Avekshate Ravindaksha Kunam Dosham Chakarmanam. Madhuji? Okay. Sri Uddhava Uvacha. Sri Uddhava said, Vidhi, positive injunction. Cha, also. Pratisheda, prohibitive injunction. Cha, and. Nigama, the Vedic literature. He, indeed. Ishvarasya, of the Lord. Te, of you. Avekshite, focuses upon. Aramindaksha, O lotus-eyed one. Gunam, good or pious qualities. Dosham, bad or sinful qualities. Cha, also. Karmanam, of activities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sri Uddhava said, my dear lotus-eyed Krishna. Yeah, I've read the whole thing. There's more to the verse. You are the Supreme Lord, and thus the Vedic literature is consisting of positive and negative injunctions constitute your order. Such literature is focused upon the good and bad qualities of work. Please repeat. Sri Uddhava said, my dear lotus-eyed Krishna, you are the Supreme Lord. And thus the Vedic literatures, consisting of positive and negative injunctions, constitute your order. Such literatures focus upon the good and bad qualities of work. Purport. At the end of the previous chapter, Lord Krishna stated, Guna-dosha-drishera-dosho-gunastabhyam-varjitaha. Focusing upon material piety and sin is itself a discrepancy, since actual piety means to transcend both of them. Sri Uddhava now pursues this point so that Lord Krishna will give a more elaborate explanation of this difficult subject matter. Sri Uddhava here states that the Vedic literatures, which constitute the laws of God, deal with piety and sin. Therefore, it must be clarified how one transcends activities recommended in the Vedas. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Uddhava suddenly understood Lord Krishna's purpose in the words he had just spoken, and to induce the Lord to elaborate upon this interesting point, Uddhava outwardly challenged the Lord's statement. So the translation again. Sri Uddhava said, my dear lotus-eyed Krishna, you are the Supreme Lord, and thus the Vedic literatures consisting of positive and negative injunctions constitute your order. Such literatures focus upon the good and bad qualities of work. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatunde Ve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvi Shesha Srinivadi Paskadhyade Siddharana. Here we find out that everything is not one. That even in the material nature, there is variety. But the variety is, the important part of the variety is the three modes of material nature, namely goodness, passion, ignorance. And that one quality is superior to another, but ultimately the qualities themselves are all being products of the material nature, are all ultimately not good, but relative to each other, one is better than the other. And actually it's the gunas are actually quality of consciousness for us. Material nature itself is Krishna's energy. Therefore, it's all spiritual, but in contact with the, as Krishna says, sattvam rajasamayiti guna prakriti sambhava vibhandanti mahabaho dehe dehinam avyam. Material nature consists of three modes, namely goodness, passion, ignorance. And when the living entity comes in contact with those three modes, he becomes conditioned by them. Just like a spider's web is not good or bad. For us, it's not good or bad. We're not adverse or attached to a spider's web. But for a fly who gets stuck on the web, it's not very good. So similarly, when the living entity comes in contact with the material nature and becomes conditioned by the modes of material nature, then his life is considered to be inauspicious. And to get out of the material nature, there is different levels of inauspiciousness culminating in the mode of goodness, which is less auspicious to the other modes and is possibly the avenue by which one can attain real auspiciousness. Just like we want to go fly from here to L.A. So the best way of flying from here to L.A. is to go to the airport. And we can get in, if we go to the airport, then there's much more of a likelihood we'll be able to get an airplane from there. On the other hand, if we climb up to the roof of Kalachandri's and try to fly from here to L.A. by hitching a ride, hoping that the airplane will stop by Kalachandri's, we'll probably going to have to wait a long time before we actually are able to fly to L.A. in that manner. So similarly, the mode of goodness, although it doesn't bring us to transcendence, but it's a platform by which it's possible to come to transcendence if we add Krishna to it. Like the airport in itself won't bring us anywhere, but if we add the airplane, then and we get aboard the airplane, then we can actually fly to where we want to go. On the other hand, if we try to avoid the airport, avoid the airplane, and think that we're going to get to L.A., we're probably going to be disappointed. We can imagine we've flown to L.A., but that doesn't mean we're actually in Los Angeles. So similarly, Krishna will explain about the three modes of material nature. It's because then there's some possibility of coming to goodness, and in goodness we can understand where is the plane and how to take it to transcendence. On the other hand, if we wind up in the mode of goodness and we don't take the plane to transcendence, then we've just wasted our time. And we'll look around in the airport, we'll find out there's no plane, and we'll decide to go back to our house again, to the modes of ignorance and passion. Try to enjoy the material world, because our tendency is to enjoy. We want to be happy, we want peace, harmony, pleasure. And even in goodness, goodness without Krishna consciousness will get boring. Peace is boring. And due to our nature, we're seeking for enjoyment, we'll probably get fooled by passion and ignorance, thinking that we can actually be happy in passion and ignorance. Especially if all our friends are in passion and ignorance, then we think, well, that's a good place to be with my friends. As Prabhupada said, just like one preacher was telling one of his congregational members that if you drink, you'll go to hell. So the man says, well, my father drinks. Well, he's going to go to hell. My mother also drinks. Well, she's going to go to hell. All my brothers and sisters, they all drink. Well, they're all going to go to hell. Well, all my friends drink. Well, they're going to go to hell too. So the conclusion is, the man says, well, if my parents, if my brothers and sisters, all my relatives and my friends are in hell, then hell is heaven. So we may think that, well, I'm in the mode of goodness, I'm not going to become attracted. No, when we find out other people are in hell, we want to join them, keep them company. We become attracted by association. Therefore, what is our position? We don't even know what mode of nature we're in half the time because the modes are always changing. One moment we may become in the mode of goodness or even transcendence, and then we become proud. Just see my prowess in the mode of goodness, how nice I am, how pure I am, how worthy I am of everyone's adoration. And simply by that pride, we wind up in passion. Immediately we're in passion. And because we're in passion, we become angry and we wind up in the mode of ignorance. So one moment we're personal associated Brahma, the next moment Yamaraj is wondering what to do with us. Therefore Krishna is saying this good and bad is actually not very auspicious. Because if we think something is good, and we think we're good, then we may become proud, which is bad. And we become proud, and knowing we can't fulfill our desire for pride, then we become angry, which is even worse. A proud person, when he's insulted, he becomes angry, which is even worse. It's bad being prideful, but when we become angry, that's even worse. And we become even more covered, because actually we have nothing to do with the material energy. Now we have something to do with material nature, just like a person who's put into a prison cell. He has a lot to do with the prison, although he's not the prison. But now he's associating with the prison, and now his whole existence is restricted. Although he hasn't become the prison, but he's influenced by the fact that he's in a prison. So our cells, our consciousness, has now been influenced by the modes of material nature, which is, I guess, the worst thing, in the sense that we're allowing it to be influenced. The fact that we're in a material body is not good or bad. The fact that we're influenced by the three modes of nature, that's bad. Now, the fact that the three modes of material nature is trying to influence us, that's not good or bad. That's just what we've gotten as the result of our pious or sinful activities in the past. The fact that we become influenced by these three modes of material nature, that's bad. So it's not good we're in a material body. We're not supposed to be here, but that's all right. It's not really an impediment for devotional service. It's not good that the three modes of material, we've acquired three modes of material nature which are influencing us. That's not good or bad if we're not influenced by them. Just like you can run up to a tree and grab the tree and say, let me go, let me go. And someone comes by and says, dear sir, the tree's not holding on to you. You're holding on to the tree. Why don't you just let the tree go? You'll be all right. No, you don't understand. You know, let me go. Tell him to let me go. You're holding onto the tree, sir. Just let the tree go. It's all right. It's not the tree that's holding onto you. You're holding onto the tree. Oh, you and your philosophy, do something practical. Tell him to let me go. So similarly, the three modes of material nature are harmless for a person who's not attached to them. But when we actually think that we're going to become happy and enjoy the material world by fulfilling their dictations, then we get entangled in them. And the more we become entangled in the mode of passion, then we want to do something generally to make some improvement. We may even try chanting Hare Krishna to see if we can improve in the material energy. In the mode of goodness, we understand what the purpose of the whole existence is, and we try to become liberated. Mode of passion, we want to improve, see if the chanting will actually increase our digestive power so we can eat a little bit more or gain some money or whatever else we're interested in. Mode of ignorance, we don't care. So that's the most dangerous. We don't care. We just, as long as my stomach's full, everything's cool. If there's a place to sleep, my stomach is full. And if my children, their stomachs are full, and my wife, her stomach is full, then we're in heaven. There's no idea what the goal of life is, nor is there any attempt to make any improvement. They're just filling the empty stomach every day. So that's called the mode of ignorance. So when we're influenced by ignorance, the Hare Krishna movement is going to seem a complete waste of time. Unless they get some prasadam and they like it, they'll fill their stomach up with prasadam. And the mode of passion, there's some desire to improve. So if they can improve by chanting Hare Krishna, then they'll take to that process. But generally people don't take to the chanting Hare Krishna. As Prabhupada said, usually people, they used to go to the church and pray, my dear Lord, please give us our daily bread. As if God, his actual position is that God has a big bakery in the sky, and all he's doing is baking bread all day, waiting for people, waiting for his orders. You go to church, you make an order for bread. He sends some reindeer down with the bread. So this is conception. Prabhupada said they go to church and they pray for bread, which is not bad, but at least because that at least Krishna is the object of their prayer. But actually they just want to use Krishna to get bread. But when they found out they don't have to go to church, they can go to the bakery and get bread, then they stop coming to the church. They go to the bakery and make place an order quicker. So in that way, people have given up even going to church for the most part. Maybe here in Texas, it's different. I don't know. People here are more religious minded than in other parts of America or other parts of the world. As I said yesterday, Vijay Prabhu said that in Seattle, I hear that he went out to a campus and they have 7 churches where everyone's praying for bread. But in Seattle, he said they have 1 big church on the campus, but no one goes there anymore, so they converted into a basketball stadium because they lost interest. They can go to the bakery. But not a, they don't even have to go to the bakery anymore. They just make an order on Amazon and it comes. So what they do is they go to the bank and pray for a loan so they can go on the internet and pray to Amazon to send the bread. And that way people, instead of being in the mode of passion, well, they're in the mode of passion, but because the aim is not Krishna consciousness, their passion will produce in the ultimate end grief and misery and bring them to the mode of ignorance. After the while, they'll get tired of working to get more bread, and they'll just be interested in somehow or another, hook or crook, get bread in the mode of ignorance. So if one works in the mode of passion and he serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then there's some possibility of being able to hear what the truth is and try to make some endeavor to actually improve themselves in the mode of goodness, come to the mode of goodness and get knowledge. So how does this relate to the devotees? Generally, the devotees come out of grief, artha. They're coming because other past sinful activities, they're suffering due to illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling, and mental speculation. They suffer. And therefore, they come to the Hare Krishna movement, they chant Hare Krishna, and somehow or another, they're able to some small degree, control their minds and become a little detached from the tendency towards sinful activity and mental speculation. They feel some relief. So then they want to make some progress, so they come a little bit to the mode of passion. As soon as there's some desire to make progress, to get out of the suffering of the mode of ignorance is actually progress. And so they take to sadhana bhakti to get free from their suffering. And then when they get a little free from suffering, then they want to enjoy. And by their hearing a little philosophy, they find out eating prasadam is much better than eating anything else, eating food offered to Krishna. Then they become vegetarian. They eat only Krishna prasadam. And if they become a little advanced, they get a water purifier so they can purify the water, drink better water, move out to the suburbs so you can breathe some pure air. They stop treating everyone else as an object for their sense gratification. So they actually develop some kind of relationship with others, which is a little bit more the mode of goodness. And so they actually become comfortable to somewhat in the material energy. It doesn't harass them 24 hours a day, just 23 and a half. So they think they're actually enjoying. So then they think, well, we're making progress. This Hare Krishna movement is actually teaching me something, how to eat properly. Even I can sleep now once, in a while. Some of the anxiety has gone down. I'm not so envious of everyone as I used to be. Just a few people. And so one actually feels like he's making progress. And then after a while, one may actually become jignasu, inquisitive. What is actually a style of life I can lead, a regulation in life, so that even more of my misery will go away? That even more of my understanding how to live in the material world to get, positive enjoyment. Like I've gained the knowledge I should chew my food, my prasad, and I'm actually doing it. And now I can actually taste what I'm eating. So I'm actually even happier. I've learned from the Ayurvedic cooking class to chew my food. And now I apply this esoteric knowledge. I'm actually chewing it and actually enjoying the result. So this is Jignasu, a little inquisitive, inquiring how to improve my life. And then gradually one comes from that passion, ignorant, because passion means I want to improve. Goodness means I want to improve towards what the actual goal of life is. And so gradually one may come to goodness and realize that actually this attachment and this aversion is not very good. I have to come to another platform of consciousness that I'm actually a spiritual soul, and that even if I'm in a good material situation, it's not the highest perfection of existence, because I'm always in danger of falling back into the lower species again and forgetting what the purpose of life is, what the objective of life is. So that's called, Prabhupada said, that's called a Brahman. They know I'm Brahman, and they try to come to the Brahman platform. But beyond that is the actual transcendence, that I'm not the body. I'm not just Brahman. I'm not just a spirit soul. I'm Krishna Das. I'm a servant of Krishna. My real existence is in relation with Krishna, not with the material body. So I may be attached to this body or other bodies, or I may be averse to this body or other bodies, but that's not my real existence. That's simply misusing my mind and attachment and aversion. Even goodness, becoming attached to goodness, is just being attached to something material also. Therefore, one has to become aware of the fact that Krishna exists. And that's why we're hearing about Krishna, that he's actually there, he's the supreme soul, he's all attractive, and that our objective of life, our aim of life should be to become conscious of Krishna, which doesn't depend upon just our own effort, it depends upon pleasing Krishna. Krishna has to reveal himself to us. We have to become qualified. And if we become qualified, then instead of becoming free from attachment and aversion, trying to get out of the material consciousness, we try to get into Krishna consciousness, which means whatever our situation is, then we try to utilize it for Krishna. And we utilize it for Krishna under the direction of Krishna's representatives in disciplic succession. So instead of becoming a servant to the modes of nature, becoming attached to the modes of nature and choosing them, we choose the order of the spiritual master coming down into disciplic succession. And then we utilize his body and our mind and our words and our intelligence to fulfill those instructions with this present body, mind, and words. And therefore, we get the association of Krishna's devotee in disciplic succession, who, when he sees we're sincerely trying to serve his instructions, then he recommends us to his spiritual master, and we get connected in disciplic succession through these acharyas and the six Goswamis, and we come to the Panchatattva, and we get their association, and we can feel, we're bestowed the feelings of separation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates from Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. And by those feelings of separation, then Radha and Krishna become pleased to reveal themselves to us, Krishna and his associates. But the important thing there is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, the acharyas, unless we connect with them in their mission, then we don't really get Radha and Krishna or their associates in Vrindavan. There's no reason for them to want to associate with us because we don't really want to associate with them. With the intense feelings of separation that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates are feeling, then Radha and Krishna become happy to associate with us because that's what we want. But without those feelings of separation, then we're feeling separation from other things. We don't feel the bliss of separation from Krishna's associates in Vrindavan the same way that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates were feeling. Then we'll have to feel separation from the objects of the senses and the material energy, gross or subtle. Therefore, it's recommended that we perform not only sadhana bhakti, which is more or less giving us the association of Krishna's associates, but also to take part in the Sankirtan movement. Try to love Krishna, not only in the temple and in the association of devotees, which we should do. We should love the devotees and Krishna here. We do that just by hearing and chanting about Krishna together. Not that we all, you know, to love the devotees means you have to, every time you see the devotees, you have to kiss them a few times. No, just by hearing and chanting about Krishna and trying to enlighten one another in Krishna consciousness, that's the best way of helping, to loving the devotees, serving the devotees. And try to cooperate to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, not only in the temple, because we're not in the temple, it's very hard to cooperate in the temple. And if we're not in the temple trying to cooperate with each other, then there's no reason to tell anyone else to come to the temple and try to cooperate with the devotees. So we're not going to be inclined. Come to the temple and you can learn how to fight with each other. So unless the devotees actually love each other by hearing and chanting about Krishna, love Krishna and in the relationship with Krishna, love each other, then there's no impetus, there's no enthusiasm to go and to tell anyone else to come and love Krishna and his devotees also. And then we become attracted to the people who don't have any taste for Krishna, because that's the only thing left. Without Krishna, then we're going to have to become attracted to something being offered in the material world by those who have no taste for Krishna. Whether it's the football game or the pub or whatever, you know, maybe we're in the goodness and we're going to go out and learn how to smell the flowers. So that's also, without Krishna, the flowers is something material. Or maybe in passion we'll learn how to make money and increase our size of our garage. And maybe in ignorance, we don't really care. We just want to watch the football game and have a nice cold pack of beer with us. It's worth it. So unless we actually come to the temple and try to spread Krishna and get a taste for hearing and chanting in the association of devotees, then it's very doubtful we're actually going to be inspired to go out and tell anyone else to do what we're not doing. It's not like, you know, take this book, it's really esoteric, you read it, I don't understand it, I don't apply it, you won't be able to do either, but take it anyhow because you'll give a donation, we'll be able to give it to the deities, and at least on the Sunday feast you can come and get something to eat. Like the rest of us. No, we actually have to hear and chant, even if it doesn't really, not necessary that one has to come to the temple to hear and chant about Krishna. One can do it anywhere. There's no restriction. Luckily, there's so far there's no restriction. In some places in the world, there's actually a restriction. You can invite anyone to your house and chant Hare Krishna. You'll get arrested. But here, at least in America, you can hear and chant about Krishna in your house, and there's no one who's going to come and arrest you for hearing and chanting. It doesn't cost anything either. It's not that you sit down with the family and there's a family meter. And for every hour you spend hearing and chanting, you have to pay so much money to the temple. What do they call that? There's a... It's the temple's, your house is a franchise, so you have to, from the temple, so you have to pay a certain amount of money. They have a temple meter in your house. No, we can hear and chant about Krishna anyway. There's no restriction, and we're getting association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The only problem is that we don't believe the holy name and Krishna are the same. If we think we're just going to waste our time, we can do so many other things. And we don't recommend it to others because we hear and chant about, when we do hear and chant about Krishna, we don't get any results. So why should we tell anyone else? Yeah, I spend 2 hours a day wasting my time chanting the mantra, shnik shnik ram ram, day 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 day, Hey, kitty, kitty. Hey, kitty, kitty. Why should I recommend it to you? But if we actually chant Hare Krishna with some feeling, some attention, and we actually experience Krishna's presence to even the smallest degree, then we'll recommend it to others. And by recommending to others, we're actually engaged in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's service, even at our home when we do it, and therefore we're getting his mercy. Then he becomes pleased, we get his association, and we actually get a little feeling for Radha, for Krishna and his associates, a little understanding that we're separated from them and we want to close the gap between our consciousness and their existence. So that's called progress in devotional service. And the more we progress in devotional service, the more we become inspired to progress more. And therefore this whole idea, now my life is good, or I'm afraid my life is going to be bad, then we become free from these anxieties, because we know good and bad in the material world are always, from our relative experience, are always changing. There's even something called biorhythms, which indicate that every 2 weeks you more or less feel good, and every 2 weeks you feel bad. Everything seems to go one's way for 2 weeks, and then for 2 weeks it's bad. And it's like a cycle. There are so many cycles in our lives. And therefore we're hoping, I feel good for these 2 weeks, and maybe it's going to last forever. Then 2 weeks later, if the next 2 weeks I feel bad, maybe I'm going to feel bad forever. Then 2 weeks, I feel good. We go up and down like a yo-yo, and we think it's going to change. Although we've been going up and down like a yo-yo since time immemorial, we think this week it's going to be different. But it's never different. Therefore, the idea is somehow or another, get Krishna's association, become qualified by serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, so that we actually see ourselves as a servant of everyone we meet to help them become Krishna conscious, become convinced that everyone is actually Krishna's servant, and that their real objective of life, their real goal in life, should be to become Krishna conscious. And if we help them towards that objective somehow or another, then we're serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates will become pleased upon us, and we'll get some of their association, and they're always feeling separation from Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, and we'll get Radha and Krishna and their associates' association too, just by that little service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission and through his bona fide representatives. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
The daily bread, but the daily bread that everybody prays, I don't think it's the original meaning. Why don't you just tell me what it is? He was telling me how when he was raised on a Orthodox. The Prasthapur was telling me he was kind of raised in an Orthodox type of environment. And the daily bread that referred to not the actual substance, wheat bread, but is the connection. The daily bread is the how you explain it?
What's that?
It's not food necessarily literal. Yeah. So there's a higher meaning to the prayer, but
of course, this Kali Yuga goes on. You know, give us our daily hemp or something. Yeah, everything gets changed around. As the modes change, so our understanding of reality changes.
Maharaj, I think you answered a question of mine, but I just wanted to reiterate it. It's very nice that if we serve the mission of Lord Chaitanya by telling others we meet about Krishna, giving them books and so on, then we get the association of those associates of Lord Chaitanya who could become pleased with us. And from there, we could get enhanced sort of this Vrindavan mood that everyone seems to be looking for by other means. Just wondering if you could comment more on that.
Well, hearing and chanting about Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has asked us to chant Hare Krishna. So we hear and chant about Krishna together. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will also be there with his associates. Somehow or another, there's 9 processes of devotional service. And if we engage in them for the Sankirtan, for the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan mission will also get his association according to our sincerity, trying to please him. It's not that we're only trying to save the souls outside. We're also trying to save each other, including ourselves. So that's also there. But we should chant Hare Krishna together with the proper understanding coming into Sipa succession. Therefore, Prabhupada told us not only to come together in the temple, he also told us to do something to help others who are innocent. It's like if we only have compassion for each other and there are people, innocent people are suffering due to the lack of Krishna consciousness, we have no feeling for them, then our feeling will only develop to a certain extent. It's like if you're sitting there having and taking prasadam with the devotees, enjoying, you see that, you know, 5 feet from you, people are walking over the cliff because they don't see the sign, beware of the cliff. And you don't do anything to inform the people you're about to step over the cliff because you're too much absorbed in enjoying your meal with the other devotees. Then, you know, you're not really fulfilling your duty completely. It's good that you're eating prasadam with the devotees, chanting Hare Krishna. But you should also tell people, you know, watch out, there's a cliff there, you're going to fall off. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol.